Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting System. I'm here today in sort of cloudy Paris with my friend and co-potter, JJ Sefton. We just discussed what we're going to talk about, and hopefully we won't stick to that. So I'm just going to let Sefton take it away.
Yes, sir. Co-potter, a pod of not whales, but a pod of Jewish alpacas
There
coming
you
at you
go.
from everywhere, and no, you're not whales.
I guess I am an Altacaca now.
You are officially. Thank goodness for that. And we got lots to talk about. Generally speaking, we're things are doing well. The economy is really humming along, much to the chagrin of the Democrats, who can't seem to make it seem as if we're heading for Donald Trump is driving the economy off a cliff. He's actually bringing it back, and it's doing very well. Some very good news on the economic front as far as job unemployment numbers and jobs being created, an Indonesia major trade deal being announced, many good things happening.
Yeah, and the
Beyond
consumer
that,
price index
yes.
is down, and the fear, and I think it's a legitimate fear, was that tariffs were going to drive inflation. Now, the insanity of most of the leftists and a lot of the people on our side of the aisle, that these 100% tariffs are going to be destructive, it's stupidity. They don't understand what a tariff is. Tariffs are not. When President Trump announced a 100% tariff on X, it wasn't 100% on the 100% of the sales price to the end user. These are wholesale prices. These are a small fraction of the ultimate price paid by the consumer. So 100% on something that gets marked up 10 times is a 5-10% increase, which, by the way, will also drive inflation. But the numbers are very, very suggestive that these tariffs are not driving inflation, that they are inflation neutral, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because Donald Trump now has the opportunity to rejigger our economy in a very, very beneficial way for Americans. And to me, that's a tremendous win. And I think that he is going to go down in history as maybe not a great president because of this, but certainly a perceptive one who was more interested in the health, the financial health, the economic health of America than the economic health of the rest of the world. And there's nothing bad about that.
Indeed. And I mean, I can speak, just from personal observation, just anecdotal. I mean, remember when everybody was going nuts about the price of eggs? Well, they're for me here in Wisconsin, they're $3 a dozen. That's like literally as cheap as it's been in years. I mean, that's incredible. Gasoline is hovering at a fairly decent price, about three-ish a gallon, three something. That's not too terribly bad either. And speaking of energy, Donald Trump is all in on energy exploration, and this green new crap is he calls it a he calls it insanity and madness. And on that note, there was a very interesting piece that I think was either an American Thinker or American Greatness that both CBD and I flagged to talk about, and it is the subject of AI and how and what its potential effect will be on American energy production and American energy independence.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. AI is driven by hugely energy dependent things, obviously. These are massive banks of computers that consume an incredible amount of not only energy but also cooling water and all sorts of other things. And where are we going to get the energy when we are busily shutting down coal-fired plants and nuclear plants and even some oil-fired plants? Well, the answer is that we're not going to get it. And my supposition, and I think that many people will agree with me, is that the specter of AI being limited in any way by a lack of energy is going to spell the end of the green energy movement. I think it's going to be destroyed by these green pretenders in our tech industries who actually just want to make a ton of money. And if they see AI as a way to make a ton of money, and maybe even maybe even create a revolution in computing, in technology in the United States. And if they see that, it has to be 63% solar and 32% geothermal and 9% wind, they're going to say, fuck you. Sorry, we're going to buy a nuclear power plant. We're going to restart it. And by the way, we're thinking of burning coal too. I would love to see that. I think it's a distinct possibility, and it would be fantastic for the future prospects of the United States.
There are a couple of articles that I've spotted over the last few days that seem to indicate that, and a lot of people are prognosticating the green energy mythology is indeed being exploded in front of our eyes. Spain is all but abandoning it after the catastrophe of that massive power failure a couple of months back. Germany is saying no more, no more, no mas on green energy. They've started to abandon it. And there was a wonderful article that General Motors is bringing back production of gas-powered vehicles in a big way to the United States of America. Their premier big car is the Escalade, and that so much for green energy and green-powered or electric-powered vehicles. GM is going back and all in on gas-powered gas guzzlers, and hallelujah for that. Good for them.
Listen, it makes perfect sense. You can pretend all you want that green energy is a wonderful thing and electric powered cars are great. And in certain situations, they certainly are very, very good. In dense cities where the trips are very short, sure. Go ahead, buy an EV. But in the United States, especially, it's ridiculous. When I jump into my car, I can certainly drive 400 miles plus without having to pull over and get gas. And then getting gas takes 5 minutes. So, the idea that any large country can function normally on anything other than gasoline is ridiculous. It is by far the densest form of transportable energy we have. And unless there is a revolution, and I mean a big revolution in battery technology, it's going to remain that way.
Exactly. And look, we have family, a friend of the family that he has two, and he's had them for many years. He's had these two Chevy Volts, and he loves them, and God bless him. He and his wife use them. They drive from where I live, maybe 50 miles or however many miles up to Madison, Wisconsin. They drive back, and they're happy with it. But now all of a sudden, I found out he has to replace the battery or something is wrong, and it's going to cost him thousands of dollars. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad I don't have that damn thing. But if he's happy with it, God bless him. And as far as, alternative sources of energy, I have nothing against them. If some Elon Musk or some other Thomas Alva Edison or whoever develops a better idea and a better mousetrap that can legitimately compete in the open market with gasoline and can deliver it chipper, ch chipper, cheaper and quicker and whatnot, then let nature and let
Or just it
the
just has to be
economic revolution
competitive.
take its place.
It has to
Exactly.
be
Let it
competitive.
compete
That's all it is. Make it competitive.
in
Listen,
the open market.
yes, exactly right. If you can sell me, I like SUVs. I'm relatively large. I like big cars. If you can sell me an SUV that performs like the way I have, like the one that I have now, and can get 400 or 500 miles to a charge, and the charge doesn't take more than I'll give you 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Fine, I'll buy one. If it's competitively priced, absolutely, I'll look at it. Listen, we took a car to the airport about last month, I think, and it was an absolutely gorgeous 2025 BMW, a large sedan, and it was an EV, 100% EV. It was very, very nice. Now, it was a 25-minute trip, and it wasn't that hot. Now, I don't know what it would be like if we sat in an hour and a half of traffic in 100-degree weather. That might have been a very, very different thing. But the reality is that the technology isn't there, and if it gets there, I'll buy one. But if it doesn't get there, I will not be forced to participate in this insanity.
Exactly. Let the market do its thing. Let all inventors and all would-be people who have flubber or the next great idea, whatever it might be, want to come up with, I'm, or if you remember that episode of the Munsters where Grandpa developed, it looked like an Alka-Seltzer pill when he put it in the gas tank, and it was, and all the gas companies wanted to get after him. But anyway, if there's somebody comes up with that, wonderful. Some mad scientist out there comes up with something to replace the internal combustion engine. Sure, let 1,000 ideas bloom, and if it's a success, okay, let the free market do its thing. Anyway.
So the Netherlands is now rationing electricity because they have. I know, you got to laugh because they bought into the green bullshit. And does it bother me? No, it makes me want to laugh. In fact, I am laughing. It's
Right. Well,
great. It's great. It just means that they won't be buying fuel, which means it'll be cheaper for us. That's fine. I don't mind.
very good.
Besides, the Dutch were enthusiastic participants in the final solution in World War II, so it doesn't really bother me that much that they're going to roast during the summer and freeze during the winter, and live
Well,
in the dark. Fine with me.
right, and they can cuddle together with their wonderful Muslim immigrants who
Yes.
yearn to be Dutch. Yeah, really. Yeah,
Yeah.
yearn to go
Yeah.
Dutch. Oh, God. Yeah. Poor Geert Wilders. Poor, may he rest in peace, Theo van Gogh.
Yeah.
They tried warning you guys, but I hope. Well, maybe you never know. Maybe there's still hope. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Europe, Donald Trump has decided that he is going to because Putin pissed him off by playing typical Putin games and not taking this drive for a ceasefire in Ukraine seriously. Donald Trump's going to sell arms to the EU, well, to NATO, and then NATO is going to transfer them to Ukraine. And my first thought was, oh shit, it's starting again. But then my second thought, after I calmed down a little bit and stopped spitting fire, was that he's selling them. He's not giving arms to Ukraine. He is selling them. So it's not going to be a financial blow to the United States of America. And in addition, what Hegseth has said on many, many occasions, and what Donald Trump has said on many, many occasions, the defense of the United States is their first priority. So they are not going to be selling vital weaponry to Ukraine. They are going to sell what we can sell and still maintain the defense of the United States. And at that point, I think, fine, I don't really give a shit. I don't like Putin. I don't like Zelensky. I don't like anybody. So, have at it. Go kill each other. And if we get to, and if we make some money, and if our defense industries make some money, that's okay too.
Yeah, I have, there's no, and as I've written, I have no love lost for either country. Poor, legitimately innocent civilians who are caught up in this, that is a crying shame. I really feel bad, like for small children and people who just want to live their lives. That's, I mean, the whole thing is horrible. So, but it's just,
But
this
that,
is something that the
but,
Russians and the Ukrainians have been at each other's throats for centuries. So
yeah.
if they can't sort out their own shit and have to do this every couple of generations, then look, that's what they, that's their problem.
Yeah, I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about Ukraine. I don't care. I simply don't care. And again, I've beaten this idea to death, but I'm gonna beat it some more. The idea that Russia is going to is in the process of creating a greater Russia and reconstituting the Soviet Union, and they're going to stop at the channel. It's total nonsense.
Yes, that's
Putin's
ridiculous.
armies are not as impressive as he thought they were. The fact that he hasn't conquered Ukraine, a much smaller country, in more than 2 years, is a damning indictment of both Vladimir Putin and his pathetic generals.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to. I mean, everyone's saying when this thing first started, he's going to take all of Ukraine in 48 hours, and to me, that's much more of a laughable statement than even Donald Trump saying as soon as he's elected, he could end the war in 48 hours. But it's ridiculous. He's no. I mean, forget it. What are you going
But
to
now
do?
let's be realistic. Putin is succeeding in Ukraine. He's consolidating his gains.
True.
He's and the idea that he's going to give back anything, ha, that's not going to happen. And
No.
I would be shocked if he gave back anything. Maybe a token to make it look like he's a peacemaker, but he's going to keep what he got. And the goal right now, I think, for Donald Trump is simply to stop the bleeding. And Putin doesn't want to play along, so he's going to sell some weaponry to Ukraine. I'm not
All
sure what
right.
the end game is for Donald Trump, but we'll see. Anyway,
Exactly. It's,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm sick of Ukraine. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about something else I don't want to talk about. How about
Yes.
Epstein? What the hell is going on?
I mean, again, I have no idea. I mean, the bottom line, I forgot who wrote the column, but somebody had a column. It was Daniel Greenfield at Front Page. Goes, the thing to remember is the whole Epstein thing begins and ends with one name only, and that is two names, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Period. End of story. And there you go. That's all you need to know about it. So, why he's playing, why Patel and Bondi and all the others are playing games with releasing, not releasing. It's just giving the Democrats this fodder to beat Donald Trump over the head with. And it's just, well, if there's either they're falling into the Democrats' trap, or maybe who knows, the Democrats are falling into some 11th dimensional
Yeah,
chess where,
I have a tough time believing that. Listen, let's talk a little bit about Pam Bondi. She is aggressively defending the administration. She's going out. She's defending its policies. She is going to court every single time some idiot judge decides that he can run American foreign policy or American domestic policy. And for that, she should be commended. She's doing a very good job. The administration is winning in court. Yeah, sure, there've been, a few setbacks and so on, but it looks like it's going to shake out that the administration is going to get to do what the American people have elected it to do.
And
That being
that's what's so
said,
infuriating.
her ham-handed dealing with the Epstein files is pathetic. It's embarrassing, and she shouldn't have done it. And look, everybody involved is this fucking sleaze bag. Everybody who took those flights down to Epstein Island is a sleaze bag. Everybody who played nice with Epstein because he had a lot of money is a sleaze bag. And it's a disgusting and unfortunately all too common thing in Washington because, with oceans of money comes people like Epstein. And listen, there are probably 50 of him all over the Northeast. And, are we going to be able to fix this? No, we are not. Should we continue to push for the exposure of the people who were involved with Epstein? Yes, I think so. Is it an existential crisis in the United States? Absolutely not. I think that at this point it is becoming too much of a club with which the Democrats can beat Donald Trump. And for that reason, I just wanted to go away. And I guess that sounds cruel, but that's how I feel.
But for me, a much more important use of perhaps the resources would be to really, 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 and I think supposedly they are, to go after people like John Brennan and James Comey and all the other sle and Clapper and all the other sleazy traitors in our intelligence community who literally weaponized the system and used even foreign assets to collude with the Russians to create the so-called dossier
Yeah, the
to
Steele
use against
dossier.
Donald Trump to rig to steal dossier. That's more to me much more of an important and a threat to our existential freedoms and security is just these threats from within from these bastards. Yes, the sleaziness, the perversion, and the criminality and the corruption. Yes. From Epstein, it's probably, I'm sure it's all even interrelated. You never know. So it's just that to me is a more that I would like to see really push, push to the limits. And the
But
one thing I was going to say, with regards to the judges and our criminal justice system in defying, Donald Trump and defying decisions and sort of making these temporary restraining orders up out of thin air is the fact that the administration has to go seek redress from the very institution that's usurping executive authority in the first place. That to me is the bitter irony of it all, that we have to rely on the courts that are that are usurping power to begin with. But there you have it. What can you do? I guess as Michael Walsh, our friend, wrote in his column at pipeline.org, it's a tu brute. It's time to really, it is time to go to war against the judiciary and just reverse Marbury versus Madison. Once that's done, then, maybe that'll be it.
I think the idea of Marbury versus Madison has been blown out of proportion. The judiciary has never been intended to be the final arbiter. And if you read Marbury versus Madison, it really was that wasn't the intent. It has been bastardized, I think,
Yep,
in many
absolutely.
ways. But the reality is that once the court speaks about the supposed unconstitutionality of something, and then Congress addresses it, that should be the end of it. And the idea that these judges can dictate the minutiae of domestic and foreign policy is just insanity. That was never the intent of our founders, and they would be shocked if they saw what was going on today.
I mean, the most one of the most egregious examples just a few days ago was this judge who literally the big beautiful bill, whatever you want to call it, was a law that was passed in both houses, both chambers of Congress, signed into law by Donald Trump, and this one judge, and in that bill, it included the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And this one judge, I forgot where, but obviously probably from Massachusetts, declared no. Planned Parenthood will not be defunded. You will fund them.
Yeah, this
And
was
wait a
her
minute.
name was we talked about this last week. Her name was
Yes, but still.
Indira Talwani,
Talwani,
and she's a
yes. I
she's a
mean,
fucking progressive. I mean, she is all in on the on every leftist crap that comes down the pike. And the fact that she was allowed to speak on this issue is unbelievable to me. And the fact that she was allowed to disrupt a legal bill that emanated from the United States Congress is unbelievable to me.
he
She should have
usurped the
been,
authority of both the
yes,
legislative branch and
and
the
the
executive
administrator.
branch.
Exactly. She should have been slapped down
Oh.
that day by the Supreme Court, and they should have filed articles of impeachment against her.
And exactly. He should be removed from the
Yeah.
bench and disbarred. The only time she should ever appear in court is in an orange jumpsuit and in leg irons and shackles. This woman is an existential, this and all like her. As much as any Molotov hurling Antifa or keffiyeh clad Palestinian supporter is, she is as much of a threat to our freedom as they are.
Agreed.
So,
Yeah, she's a real
nothing else do
charmer.
we got?
So let's talk a little bit
Nothing else.
about what's going on with ICE.
Speaking of the devil, you know.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they have been tasked to essentially defend our borders and to get rid of the lawbreakers who crash our borders. It's a very simple job, and they seem to be able to do it rather well. I'm impressed by them. It costs a lot of money to run them, unfortunately, which is one of the reasons why the Big Beautiful Bill has a huge, huge increase in their funding. I think it's going to allow them to hire something like 10,000 more agents, which is a good thing. Now, and that is coming from somebody who is disgusted by most aspects of American law enforcement. So realize how bad it must be that I am in wholehearted support of ICE. Now, the problem with that is that the leftists are now calling for what is essentially the murder of ICE agents. They're talking about resisting ICE is a fundamental right, that it is simply the normal self-defense in America. And that is going to be a catastrophe in this
And by
country.
the way, That is not just some knucklehead and some
Oh no
freak
no
on
yeah it's more
whatever.
than one.
That
It's
came,
congressmen and senators. Yeah, oh yeah.
and as I wrote this morning, that actually a ruling or from some another crackpot judge somewhere who basically said, yes, hurling Molotov cocktails or beating up ICE agents and preventing them from doing their job and literally committing acts of violence against them to prevent them doing their duty is legitimate. That is, you are talking about this is where you get death squads, people. This is where real civil war and real civil dissolution comes from. When that kind of thing comes from a judge, we got trouble in River City, my friend.
Oh, we have a big problem. Now, what can be done about it? I think the first thing that can be done, who is ICE run by? Which is it?
ICE is the Department of Homeland Security,
Okay,
if
so
I'm not.
all right. So
That's
I think the first thing
Dash
so
Patel,
that's
maybe,
Kristi
or
Noem. No, that's Kristi Noem.
Kristi Noem,
The
excuse me.
first thing that Kristi Noem should do is announce to the world that ICE is no longer going to be reactive in the face of violence. And that means snipers doing Overwatch. I think that they should use live rounds. Somebody throwing a brick at a car is to me attempted murder. And the appropriate reaction, I think, when confronted with attempted murder is to respond with deadly force. And I think that's what ICE should do. And this, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it has come to that. And I think that needs to happen all over the country. They need to exert overwhelming force, and they need to respond with deadly force if attacked.
And
And
they
I
should
think that
make
it
it as a,
I
and a
and I think it was,
public announcement to say, we
yeah.
will
Oh,
use deadly
absolutely.
force.
It has
Please
to
come
be
out.
public. Yeah.
Right. And if we see a demonstration where you're blocking traffic, where you're whatever, I don't care what you will be presumed that you are dangerous and a potential threat. And we are ready to use deadly force if necessary. And if let the heads explode, let 1,000 heads explode. Whether from a live round from an ICE agent's gun or from them reacting to such an announcement. To hell with them. This is
Yeah, I agree.
past the top.
Yeah, that's what the courts are for. If you don't like what the government is doing, go to court. That's fine. That doesn't bother me. I think they're wrong. I think that what ICE is doing is perfectly legal. But if you don't like it, go to court. But this idea that they can ramp up violence against the government simply because they don't like the outcome of the election and they don't like the outcome of these decisions is unbelievable to me. Now I and now And again, I'm also a Second Amendment absolutist, and it becomes complicated at that point because what do I do when the government wants to take somebody's guns? Well, my answer is, yeah, you got to go to court. Should you shoot it out with the cops when they come to take your guns because of some stupid red flag law? I don't
Right,
know.
exactly.
I don't think it's come to that. It has come very close to that in the United States. But it hasn't come to it yet.
And then, of course, it depends on your jurisdiction. As you know, well know, CBD, you are in wonderful New Jersey. And,
But also I'm a
they
United
take
States
your guns
citizen.
and, you go to court in New Jersey. The odds of you getting your guns back are like slim and none.
Yeah, that's true. But also I'm a United States citizen, and ICE is going after people who are not citizens. They should not be afforded the rights and privileges of a United States citizen. They broke the law
Exactly.
to get in here, and the law says, well, they can get thrown out.
Absolutely.
And
It's not
so
even a question of
it is
whether
a
they're
little bit
in.
different. I'm sort of dancing on this line, and I'm not sure exactly how I feel about it.
Well, I mean, again, it's not, and again, it's not just criminals, like hardened criminals crossing the border, like rapists and murderers and thugs. And of course, we announced they picked up five Iranian potential terrorists coming in from Canada.
Yeah, but something,
But
I don't care about any of that stuff. I think they should all get
if
thrown
you
out.
set foot, if you even if you come here to pick melons and pick lettuce,
Yeah,
if
get
you
thrown
set
out.
foot
Sorry.
on our soil without permission, you are breaking our law and you are a criminal and you should be deported. Period. End of
Yes.
story.
100% correct.
And by the way, those who claim that it's not good for our economy, You guys can go screw
Bullshit.
yourselves. It's bullshit. There were articles over the last week that I've seen that that employment among Americans is going through the roof. And you know, who knows if it's farm labor, non-farm labor, but a lot of foreigners are no longer being employed. And there was a wonderful story, which I've been screaming for a long time. Some company, they're going after the employer big time because he knowingly hired illegal
Yeah, that's
aliens.
fantastic.
Let's have more of that.
Yeah,
Because let me tell you
that's
something.
actually the way that it could.
You're going to see self-deportation and a deterrent for illegal immigration faster than that. That's
Yes,
wonderful. Go after
absolutely.
them and find the shit out of them. Every illegal alien you knowingly hire, you should find the employer like out the wazoo. If you need to shut their business down, so be it. Good. That'll learn you.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. So what else is going on? Anything fun?
That
Anything
anything fun?
uplifting in the news?
Yes, I actually saw a very, and I had it, and I featured it, and I think it's, and I'm interpreting it as a good thing. There was this single mother who working at a fast food restaurant, I believe in South
Yeah,
Carolina,
I saw that. That was great.
and literally one of her coworkers decided to up and quit on her, and she had nobody else in the restaurant but her to run the drive-through window, to drive the grill, to operate every position in the restaurant but her. And she decided that she was not gonna leave and throw her arms up, and she was gonna man every position, and she served every customer that she could. And to me, that brought a tear to my eye, because instead of throwing up her hand, I mean, I don't know what her personal situation as far as, you know, if she's on any kind of government assistance beyond that, but the fact that she has the spirit and the work ethic to do the job and to stay the course and to stay at her position and man the battle stations, that to me is so uplifting and so encouraging a sign that it really made me feel very good. And I felt wonderful and felt so bad for this woman at the same time. And the reactions of the readership to the article, it was in the Post and it's at Kutchip News and
Yeah, it
Ace of
was
Spades
great.
and report.
Yeah,
It's
her
great. So
name, by the way, and her name is Nykia Hamilton,
yes.
Nykia. She lives in, I don't know if she lives there, but she works at a Burger King in Columbia, South Carolina. So
God bless you, Nikia. God bless you
the
and
Burger
more
King
like you.
company make this woman a manager,
Absolutely.
make
Let
sure
me
that
tell you
she
something.
has, I mean, that's the American dream.
Right.
That is American exceptionalism.
Right. That is how we are going to make America great again. Not so much Donald Trump. Who knows what his influence may have had or not had, but a woman with that kind of spirit to not give up the ship and say, to hell with it. I have a family to feed. I have a family to support. I'm here. I'm going to work my ass off and make this job work. That is how we will make America great again. And God willing, see our 500th anniversary as America. God bless you, ma'am.
Great lady.
Great lady. Absolutely.
Here's the quote. It's a great quote. One of my employees just quit on me, and they didn't have anyone else to come in, so I had to work by myself and close by myself. Had to do the dishes, do prep, do the floor, do the front counter, drive through. Yeah, well, that woman is going to be a success in her life. Well, sure she is. She's already demonstrated it. So wonderful, wonderful.
For every school, every whatever, from grade school to whatever, this woman's story, you should be in your lesson plans. Of course, obviously, the NEA led by what's her name ain't gonna be, but it should be taught. This is a shining example of what it means to be an American. And for every immigrant out there, this is the model you should be following. Not this Mamzer Mamdani or whoever. This is the woman. This is the story. This is America. This is what makes us great.
I agree.
And for me, that's about it, my friend. Unless you have something else, we can wrap her up.
Nope, I think that was a great way to end the podcast.
Good.
So, all right, let's do it. Sefton, take it away.
You have been listening to the Kutchip Newsletter Speaks podcast with all the information you need from around the world, across the nation, and up your streets. For CBD, my partner and co-podcaster in my pod, always in the pods, we wish you farewell, Godspeed, God bless, my friends. Keep the faith. Thank you for your continued support in commenting, in hitting our tip jar. We can't thank you enough, and it helps us out more than you know. And we will see you again next week on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.